case of the day is number 073661, the United States against Eric Bennett. Mr. Stern.
Good afternoon. May it please the court. My name is James Stern. I represent Eric Venters, the defendant appellant in this case. Eric Venters was arrested on August 2nd of 2006. He was later charged with possessing items which could be used in the manufacture of methamphetamine. The basis of his arrest was Mr. Venters was at his home on August 2nd, 2006, and the Department of Children and Family Services, DCFS, received a report that there may be neglected children in his care. The caseworker on that, Vanessa Shaw, contacted the Mount Vernon police to go with her to investigate this. The basis of the appeal, the basis of the notice came from a Sue Howsworth, who was the children's step-parent, step-grandmother, excuse me. And she had indicated that a week or two prior, these children, she had been at the house, and the house was filthy and a mess. And she also indicated that she could smell meth on their clothes. There's no indication of why she didn't act on this 2 weeks before or a week before, or whatever the time gap was, or how she knew if, what meth smelled like, or whether there's any basis of that. But in any event, Vanessa Shaw contacted Sergeant McElroy of the Mount Vernon Police, and there was some testimony about do caseworkers always contact police, because it was the defendant's position at trial, and it is now, that essentially the police went in intending to arrest Mr. Venters. They were after him. They wanted to charge him with criminal conduct. This was not entirely a case of an investigation of child neglect. This is supported by the fact that on the way to the defendant's home, the police, Sergeant McElroy and DCFS investigator Shaw, meet up with another officer, an officer Swinton. Now, there's no indication why you would need any police officer, much less two, at this scene just to investigate a report of neglect. And ultimately, the testimony was that there was at least five law enforcement officers at that residence, including the assistant chief. The police and the investigators arrive at Mr. Venter's home, and the testimony in at the motion to suppress was interesting in that the defendant's home is just a few feet from the sidewalk in the middle of town, roughly a mile from the court, the county court in Jefferson County, as well as about a mile from the Fifth District Appellate Court. Anybody could look into this house. There was windows everywhere. There was, in fact, the entire front of the house is windows. Anybody could see in there. The two officers and the DCF investigator went out, knocked on the door, knocked for a couple of minutes, pounded on the door, and apparently the basis on going into that house was that Sergeant McElroy, who we never heard from at the motions press, indicated that he may have seen a child lift up above the couch. Now, at this point, all that the police have is a filthy house. And they
wasn't on the way they discussed the possibility that there was a history of methamphetamine use, possible production of methamphetamine use?
There had been, yes, Your Honor. And on that point, the police and the DCFS investigator interviewed the defendant's wife shortly before going to the house. And she indicated emphatically that she does not believe that he manufactures meth at the house. There was no evidence that there was any manufacturing of meth going on at that house. So the police go into this house on
the basis. But I thought, didn't she also say she didn't know for sure that the defendant wasn't cooking meth at their home since she'd been in the hospital?
Yes, she had been in the hospital 3 or 4 days, but she said she did not believe that he did. She said that normally they come and pick him up and take him elsewhere. She indicated that.
But she indicated she didn't know for sure whether he was cooking the meth while she was in the hospital, because obviously she wasn't there.
Yeah, clearly she did not know that for sure.
And the mother had also told them that that the daughter lied, that the daughter lies about things. Wasn't that...
There was testimony that a daughter lied. But as the police are standing at the front door at this point, they have... All they really have are rumors and a little bit of past history. There's no indication why Sergeant McElroy thought this might be a child, if it was a child, what that meant. It could have been a lot of things that officer saw. He thought he saw a child. To allow the government to go into a home under these circumstances would be... to allow the police to go in anytime there's a disgruntled spouse in a custody battle, an upset neighbor, call the police and they show up and there's a messy house. And as was indicated in the brief, and as one of the officers testified, just a couple days before the police went in here, a tornado did tear through Mount Vernon. Power, utilities were out throughout the entire area. All they have at that point is a messy house, and maybe a kid there. I think it's telling that the officers never ask the defendant's wife at the hospital for consent to search that house. They didn't ask the defendant himself for consent to search that house. They go into the house. They go in, and there was testimony that weapons were drawn, and they did a protective sweep of the house, because Officer Sweetin was asked why he went into the back rooms. He said it was normal for him to do like a protective sweep.
Did they know the children were there?
When they went in, they did not know children were there.
Except they saw them through the window.
He said he thought he saw, he may have saw a child's head. And there was numerous questions on that point. We never heard from Sergeant McElroy. Vanessa Shaw, the DCFS investigator, and Officer Sweetin, the patrol officer at Mount Vernon, both indicated that they had never in any of their reports made any mention of seeing a kid. They were both standing on that porch and did not see a kid. They had not, Vanessa Shaw did not testify at the shelter care hearing of seeing a kid. There was no testimony at a grand jury of seeing a kid.
Well, but Sergeant McElroy, Ms. Shaw reiterated she heard him say that. But the fact of the matter is, at least the testimony was, that a police officer involved in the approaching the house said, "I saw a child." And another officer heard, right?
He said, "I thought I saw," that would be page 21, line 17, he said, "I thought that I saw a child." And I think it's...
But based on that, the other officer went and entered the house, right?
Yes, Your Honor. But it is our position that even if that's true, all that you've established, all that the government's established, is that there's a filthy house and that there may be a child in there. The DCFS or police did not see fit to immediately rush out to the house. When they got their report hours earlier that morning, they took time to go to the hospital. They took time to meet. And I do think there was testimony also that the defendant had a police scanner, and I thought it was interesting that the DCFS investigator and Sergeant McElroy meet the patrol officer, and it appears they met to more or less spring this on the defendant, because normally you wouldn't just meet on the scene. You'd be at the police station. They were only about a mile from the police station. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Stern. We'll hear now from Mr. Norwood.
In your honors, and may it please the court, Mr. Venters was not inside his home. He was outside inside a shed making and using methamphetamine. The officers...
Is that shed from the house?
How far? It's just a normal backyard, Your Honor. According to the picture, it'd be from here to the wall over there, from the back of the house to the shed.
Thank you.
But the officers... First of all, Vanessa Shaw says she has investigated hundreds of these claims. She said more often than not, she does call a police officer to escort her to the house. That was at the beginning of her testimony. She went and got, even though she knew that the town of Mount Vernon has a drug task force, she went and got the juvenile officer to go with her. He was in plain clothes. Before they went there, he asked for a uniformed officer and a marked patrol car to go with him. They pounded on the door. Officer Sweeten said from outside the door, he could look in and saw clutter in the house and feces on the floor. With all due respect, a tornado may have come through Mount Vernon a few days earlier, but it didn't drop feces inside this house.
Well, what exactly was the exigency, the imminent danger of harm? Like counsel pointed out,
the imminent
caseworker, right, the caseworker goes to the hospital, does an interview, there's a time lapse. Are you saying that that happened when the child refused to answer the door for a complete stranger who was, you know, I know it was lots of pounding, but,
yes,
you know, and of course a lot of parents instruct their kids don't answer the door if it's a stranger.
Yes, Your Honor, there were actually three children at stake, not just the one child on the couch. So there
at
are three
time,
children that we don't know where they are at.
Right.
We don't know where they are at. The house is filthy. It stinks. It's full of, the report they received was full of human and animal feces. One of the children smears feces all over the house. The mother is in the hospital, possibly with anthrax caused by a spider bite. The officers go to the house with the Division of Child and Family Services worker has 24 hours to investigate the claim, but they are there within approximately 3 hours to go to the house and see if the children are okay. When they knock and pound on the door, they don't get any response other than a child seeing a child's head on the couch. And when they went in, a child was right there on that couch. They didn't see the other two children. They went in and were looking for the other two children and to see if there's anybody else in the house. They located the other two children in a back bedroom. As it indicates, those children were, according to Vanessa Shaw, they were naked, didn't have any clothes on, clumps of hair laying on the mattress. One of the children had bloody mucus coming from his nose. They were hard to wake up. But what's important is the officers went in there, they got the children, and then they left the house. They did not search the house for anything. They did not look in any drawers. They went in, recovered the children, took them out of the house. Vanessa Shaw said in the first time in all her years they had to call an ambulance to come to the house to care for those children.
Or could the officers have procured a warrant prior to that entry?
I suppose it would be possible, Your Honor, based upon one of the officers said when I looked through the window and saw feces on the floor and the room was a clutter. But we don't know if that's evidence of child.
And could they, on the information they had before they went to the house, could they have gotten a warrant to enter the house?
Could they have gotten a warrant? I've never practiced state law, Your Honor. I assume with the information they had, that would be evidence of child endangerment. I just don't know what the elements of that crime are under Illinois law. Is it possible? Yes, it's possible, Your Honor. I think, they weren't there investigating necessarily a crime. They were there to see whether the children were okay. That's why Ms. Shaw came to them.
They took the kids out. They left, like you said.
Yes, ma'am.
And then they waited, and they got a state search warrant.
After they removed the kids, they got a state search warrant to take, and this was a very limited warrant, to take pictures inside the house for evidence of child endangerment, as well as look through the cupboards and the refrigerator to see if there was food and what was there.
And do you know what was alleged in that? So it was a search warrant. In terms of the facts that were included in the search warrant, are you familiar with those? Were those based on what they found once they got in the house or what they knew before they got to the house? Do you know?
To be candid, Your Honor, I am not certain of the exact language in that first state search warrant. I believe I'm not sure if it was admitted as an exhibit or not. The initial search warrant was admitted as Government Exhibit 6. I'm not sure if it was just the search warrant or also the probable cause affidavit. But what's telling is that when they were in there taking pictures and looking through the cupboards, they then discovered evidence of drug use and went and got a second search warrant for drug use. I think what's important is, and it's difficult for this court to do, but what's important is to put yourself in the position of the officers knocking on the door at that time. What if the officer said, I see a child, but now we're not going to do anything for half an hour, 45 minutes to get a search warrant. Well, inside that house, and it's in the record, there was, among other things, for example, a can of Mountain Dew and chocolate syrup next to a metal can with chemical. Now, if in the intervening time, or what if a child is hurt, and they do nothing for 30, 45 minutes to obtain the search warrant, then are they in some type of legal jeopardy, and they'll be criticized soundly for not doing anything. I think it's very, very crucial that when they went in, they did not search the house. When they went in, they did nothing but get the children and get them out of the house. And then they located the defendant's father because they asked the oldest child who was on the couch, "Where's your dad?" And he said he hadn't seen his dad since the day before. The prior evening, so it had been 15, 16 hours. The officer went to the shed because he heard an air conditioner running, and lo and behold, the father's out there, and then...
Could we talk about that that for a minute? Excuse me. What was their authority to enter the shed?
For looking for the parent. I mean, that's the sole reason. Was the father hurt? It was 90, 100 degrees. The officer said, "We couldn't find a parent anywhere. The mother's in the hospital. We don't see a father. We don't see anybody. We have three children naked in a feces-infested home. Where's the father? Is he hurt? Is he injured? What is going on?" He heard the air conditioner running in the shed, and because it's 100 degrees out, it was natural for him to assume somebody was in the shed. He then knocked open the shed. The defendant reached, wouldn't show his hands, reached, tried to flee, and the officer had to actually tase him to get compliance. And there was methamphetamine materials, and he was ingesting methamphetamine.
The district court's explanation, well, maybe the father was hurt, was really raising a straw man. There's no other evidence he was hurt. Suppose, would there be any other basis for having opened that door?
No, not once the children were found, Your Honor. Mm-hmm. No, I mean, I think that the reason the officer said was, "I was looking for the parent. He might have been hurt out there." I think that's the evidence that the officer said.
Could he just go look for the parent?
Could he go look for the parent?
Yeah, in other words, if the officer didn't have any evidence, because I frankly don't see it, any evidence that the father was hurt, he just wants to find the parent. He's taking the three kids away.
Yes, do I think that's reasonable?
Shed under those circumstances.
Yes, Your Honor. The shed was unlocked. I think opening the door and say, "Is somebody in here?" when nobody is responding to pounding at the front door.
Did you find methamphetamine material in the house?
I believe there was some items in the house and some items in the shed. I can't, off the top of my head, delineate which were where. But I think, again, the touchstone of the Fourth Amendment is reasonableness. Was it reasonable for the officer to open the shed door?
I'm trying to struggle with what the limits would be on this, because if just getting back to the house itself, you know, if there's a suspected drug dealer and the officers know it's a drug dealer's home, and they see a child inside and they know the kids have been neglected, can they enter without a warrant? You know, what are the sort of parameters of this?
Your Honor, I think the courts, the cases make clear, there are times where there are exigent circumstances to protect the health and welfare of children who are alone in a house. And that's all these officers were doing.
What were the ages of the children? One was 11?
I believe they were, the oldest might have been 10, they were all under the age of 10, three children under the age of 10. And again, Your Honor, I believe Your Honors have the exhibits. Your Honors have the exhibits, so Your Honor can take a look at the picture of the house and the children to see the condition they were found in and determine whether or not...
Nobody's quarreling with you that this was a horrible circumstance. The question is, what kind of limitations should there be, and was there enough for the officers to go in without a warrant? And the DCFS report says that one child was 6 years old. There was no evidence in the record that the officers knew the ages of any of the other kids when they went in, right? So it could have been teenagers who could have, been babysitting for the kids or something like that. There's no evidence as to the age of the other children that they knew when they went in, right?
I know the age of the, in the initial report, the age of one was
six. That's
six
what I
years,
know
years old.
But
yes,
there's
Your
no
Honor.
Evidence in the record that the officers knew the age of the other kids.
Let me look at the transcript on page 1011, because I have the ages of the child. I don't know if the DCFS worker knew that.
Right, or the officers knew in advance. No, I'm just trying
yes.
to, I mean, because one of the kids could have been babysitting the other kid. Conceivably, without knowing what
conceivably,
the
conceivably, but when the officers pounded on the door for several minutes and there's no response, and all they see is a child.
Also, when they gathered, when the officers gathered together with a child welfare worker, Sergeant McElroy told Officer Sweeten that they were going to a residence to do a child welfare check, that there was credible information that children were being neglected, right?
I think that's the information they had, Your Honor, yes. Again,
which is in itself a crime, right?
I have to candidly admit I am not an expert on state law. I've never practiced in the state courts in Illinois or, well, very briefly in Indiana. But yes, I think child neglect or child endangerment is a law. I'm not sure what the elements are. But again, I know Your Honor is worried about the scope or to how far this may or may not expand Fourth Amendment precedent. I don't think it expands it at all. I think the cases are out there already. But to allow officers to just go in based on this exigency and take care of children is not unreasonable, and it's not a great expanse of the Fourth Amendment. They didn't go in there. They didn't look through drawers. They didn't take pictures. They didn't look for evidence of drug use, even though they were aware of it ahead of time. They didn't do any of that. They went in, got the children, got them out of the house. That's what the officers did. They responded to the exigency of the circumstances facing them, and they did not expand or use the entry for any other purpose other than the welfare of the children. I'm not sure if Your Honor have any other questions.
Apparently not. Thank you, Mr. Norwood. How much time does Mr. Stern have? You have a minute, sir.
A few points worth noting is the children's grandmother, step-grandmother, was the reporter of this. She had a discussion with the DCFS worker before this investigation was ever done that she would take custody of these kids. And she also indicated in her reports that her stepdaughter, was separating from the husband. This is our position that this was being used as a ruse to get those children out of there. In addition, the court earlier asked, was there enough for a search warrant? I would emphatically say not, that the basis of this child neglect report was a week or 2 weeks before any of that information would have been stale, would not have been sufficient to get a search warrant under those circumstances. In all the cases cited by defendant, the court, and the government on these exigent circumstances, to every single case that I'm aware of, there's much more of an emergency basis. Somebody sees someone getting beat up, the police are already there, alarm, et cetera, so forth is going on. Unless the court has any further questions.
Well, just let me ask you, do you know what the elements of child endangerment is?
It's roughly a child is being held under circumstances which could inadequate care, but when the police are there, there's no concrete confirmation that there is even a child there until they go into the house. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Norwood. I'm sorry, Mr. Stern. Mr. Stern, you serve by appointment of the court, and you have the deep thanks of the court for your fine efforts on behalf of your client. Indeed, our thanks to both counsel in the case, and the case will be taken under advisement.